Thanksgiving. I was reading an article this week, and it said that Thanksgiving is no small thing for a Christian. That as we are saints, we have the most to be thankful for. For we are sinners saved by God's grace. And that is not just significant for us, it is very central to who we are in Christ. Think about it, the Scriptures show us the very centrality of how thanksgiving is so much a part of honoring God. Romans shows it in a negative in chapter 1 and verse 21 where it says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened." There's a connection there between honoring God and giving Him thanks. It is the way in which, or one of the ways in which we can honor God. In Psalm 100 in verse 4, it says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." In Psalm 50 in verse 23, it says, "He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me." That there is this connection. This is one of the ways we glorify God, is through our thanksgiving. John Piper said it this way: "Thanksgiving exalts in grace. Gratitude was created by God to echo grace. We were created by God to echo His grace through our thanksgiving." It is not something that we just have to do as a duty. It is something that we get to do as a privilege. So I want us to think for just a few moments about that idea of thanksgiving and the Thanksgiving meal. Because we've all had an opportunity this past week to be with friends and family and to gather around the table and to celebrate Thanksgiving through a meal. Now maybe you went around and you looked to each other as you are around the table and you expressed what you were thankful for. Maybe you wrote it down, or maybe you just thought about this week what you are thankful for. But do you realize that God gives us this opportunity every week? He brings us around a table to celebrate Thanksgiving. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, when He took the bread and when He took the cup, it says He gave thanks. He wasn't doing that out of duty. He wasn't just saying, "Well, this is what we do at this point in time in the Passover." He was doing it because it was a privilege to do that. So for just a few moments, we could talk all day about what is it that God gives us this meal for. But I want to give you just three things to think about. Three things that I am thankful for. And if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 9. The first thing I am thankful for is that He came in the flesh. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "In the days of His flesh, He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His piety." God came in the flesh. If you think about it, God could have made that happen in any of a multitude of ways. He could have made it where He came in the flesh for 3 hours, died, and then went back to heaven. But He didn't do that. He came and He lived for over 30 years in the flesh. Why did he do that? Why was he, shall we say, weary in Samaria at the well? Why was he disturbed in Nazareth? Why was he angry at the temple? Why was he sleeping on that boat on the Sea of Galilee? Why was he sad at the tomb of Lazarus? Why was he hungry in the wilderness? Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever thought about the first time that Jesus got a splinter while he was working on a piece of wood in his father's carpentry shop? I mean, just imagine, he's working away, and some happens, and then a splinter just goes right into his finger. Have you ever thought about the creator of the universe? He's got a splinter in his finger, and he's knee-deep in wood shavings. You see, he did all of those things because he knew we would be weary. He knew we would be dismayed. He knew we would be angry. He knew we would get sleepy. He knew that we would be grief-stricken. He knew that we would get hungry. You see, he knew about our pain, whether in the body or spiritually in our soul. And he did all of those things so that he could experience that. So that what that means is he understands you and me. I'm also thankful that he learned obedience. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And when you think about obedience, that is something you have to learn. And you learn it through experiencing obedience. Jesus didn't need to know how to obey in the intellectual way. He knew that. He was God. But it was the idea of what was involved in obedience. The idea of that he experienced obedience. The more that I come to study this verse, the more that I realize, I don't know that I will ever fully grasp what he means in this verse. But here's what came to me this week as I was studying this. God enthroned in heaven obeys no one. All obey him. And we could even say that the Godhead, even though they are submitting to each other in perfect love, from all eternity, they have had the same will. They've all three of them have wanted the same thing. But it took the Word becoming flesh and realizing the not only the significance, but the severity of his sacrifice for our sins to bring about his will being different from his Father's. See, that's why he was crying out with tears and supplications. He was going to do the Father's will, but his will was different. You see, he was learning obedience. And it says he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Now think about that. It's easy to obey when everything's going your way. When your will is in line with what somebody else wants you to do, it's easy to do what they want you to do. But true obedience comes when we submit to what brings us
pain.
Then we really see, am I really willing to submit to what somebody else wants me to do? That's obedience.
And Jesus learned that in the things that he suffered. I'm also thankful that he came for you.
Why do we do holiday travel? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, we pack the car full and we drive for hours and hours. Or we're in the airports and we endure long delays. And the kids are in the back going, hey, are we there yet? You know, well wait a minute, when are we going to get there? Why do we do all of that?
Because we love to be with the one that we love. As someone put it once, it's the four-year-old child running up into grandpa's arms. It's having that cup of coffee with mom before anybody else wakes up.
It's that moment, if only for a moment,
when we're all joined hands around the table and giving thanks to God for friends and family.
You see, we love to be with the ones we love.
The same is true with God. I'd ask those who are going to come and serve at the table to come forth now.
Think about God. Our sins created this huge expanse, this huge distance between God and ourselves. But he couldn't endure it. He had to do something about it. And so he traveled to us. He came and he lived among sinners, yet he was perfect. And he came and he died our death of sin. Because that distance was too great.
And so he did something about it because he loves to be with the ones he loves. I want you to think about these things this morning as we give thanks to our God in the Lord's Supper.